Hello, this is Bianca Westwood from Gillette Soccer Saturday on Sky Sports, and you are listening to the B2 Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 72 show. I'm your host, Anthony Kendrick, back after a two-week absence. Joining me for this week's episode, we've got Nick Davey.
Good evening.
And we've got Cheltenham assistant manager, Russell Milton.
Hi, good evening.
You guys both well?
Yeah, very well, thanks.
Yeah, very well, thank you, Anthony.
So, Russ, just want to start with a bit about you. So, you started out as an Arsenal trainee. How did it come about you ended up, you know, starting your career there?
I went there as I started spotted in the kid trial when I was 13, signed the school work 14 and was there from 14 till I was 21. So with over 3 year pro contract as well, was on occasions didn't quite make the first team in a league game, but you know, was there when they won the title at Anfield and various league cups and things. So I had a good time there, and then went from there and played abroad in 4 years, which was great. Played for Dover in the Conference. And we won the league title to get to the Conference in the Southern League. Had four years there. And then joined Cheltenham in 97. So I've been sort of around these parts since 1997, for nearly 20 years, and culminating in a league triumph just to come up, just going back to League Two after a league in the National, 1 year in the National League. So good times, you know.
We'll come back to that. I just wondered as well, you got a teaching degree, you said, as well. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hey, you also said you've got a teaching degree. How did that... Was that you thinking of a career outside of football, or was that...
Yeah, it was really, because when I was in Hong Kong and Japan and playing out there, there was a lot of old pros out there who didn't really know what they were going to do and hadn't earned enough money to sort of retire and not do anything after. So I just thought, well, you know, eventually I've got to do something, so I'm probably not going to be able to retire from football itself. So I thought, when I get back to England, I'll get something behind me and you know, did a 4 year teaching PGCE degree, sports science degree, and a PGCE. So it kept me, you know, PE kept me in sport, and with that, I did the coaching badges as well. So you know, combined, the two of them have given me good grounding in that area of teaching, coaching field. In sport, so it was with a view to looking ahead, yeah, definitely.
It's something I'm sure must have helped you in football, you know, in coaching what you're doing now.
Yeah, it has, yeah, it gave me good grounding. I mean, I qualified as a teacher in 97, so, you know, I've been, you know, 47 now, so good on 20 years I've been in coaching and teaching, so I'm quite comfortable with it. Doesn't give me any problems. There's been a number of situations that have come up over the years that I've dealt with. And I started towards the end of my career, started getting into the coaching and doing it when I was at Cheltenham, doing the under-12s and the under-13s and building up there. Then I went away for a little bit and did my own soccer schools with Arsenal. And then I went back to Cheltenham 6 years ago and, you know, got involved with the youth set-up and became youth academy manager, and then, you know, involved in the first team manager for a little while for 9 games, and then this year with Gary Johnson. So, you know, pleased that's gone, really.
Great stuff, great stuff. We'll come back to Cheltenham later in the show, but now I want to discuss the Football League Awards, which were last weekend. The main prizes, I suppose, for best players, Andre Gray won it for the Championship. I think he's probably the best choice. I don't know if there's anyone else you guys would have put in.
Personally, I think, yeah, it's the correct decision. Usually, you know, they always tend to sort of go for the top goal scorer, really, but... I was a bit surprised with the three contenders. I think Gray and Judge, I don't have any complaints about, but number three, there could be possibly arguments. Maybe Kyle of Brighton, Barton of Burnley could be in there instead of McCormack. I know he's scored some goals, but obviously Fulham haven't done well as a whole. Whereas obviously Brighton and Burnley have. But yeah, I think Andre Gray is the definite. And I think obviously, I don't know how much Sean Dyke, I think they paid about $9 million for him, but I think obviously, if they do get promoted, it'll be worth every penny, because I think he's been outstanding this year for Burnley.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think Judge has been very good. Andre Gray's been very good for Burnley. And it's shown where they are, you know, 2 points off the top, and he's been a big factor in that. There was a little bit of a question mark about how he would do, wasn't there? But he's certainly done well. So I think he's, you know, fully justified to be in that. And then Yeah, just a little word for Judge, really. He had that nasty injury, didn't he, last week? And, just let's hope he can get back on the road to recovery very quickly to, get his career back on. And he's unfortunately probably getting what he's going to miss out on the Euros, isn't he, just coming up. So, a bit of a bad time for him, although he's had a decent season overall.
All right, moving on. League One winner was Bradley Dack. Again, I think it's hard to argue with all of them, to be honest. Bradley Dack, do you guys?
Bradley Dack's been a major part of Gillingham's season. I mean, he's that really creative force in the middle. And it's, I think, yeah, you say without him, probably, I don't know, obviously it's hard to say it was one man team, but he has been a major part of where they are in the league. They weren't obviously contenders to be where they are at the moment. So I think he has been a major part of the season. That's not taking anything away at all from Justin Edinburgh. He's done a great job at Gillingham. And I think the same for League Two, was it Keemar Roth?
Yeah, Keemar Roth won it, surprisingly. Yeah, not so again,
he's been a massive part for Oxford season where they are. Obviously, he's been a goal machine for them, and they've been linked with a lot of other clubs, Keemar Roth. But so I think all three of them, they probably made the correct decision for all three of those leagues, I think.
Yeah, I'll agree. So Bradley Dack, I've known Bradley for quite a number of years, because I know Gillingham, I know his youth coach is Darren Hare, who's head of youth there, and Andy Heston-Tyler, who's quite a bit, and they both talk really highly of Bradley Dack. I've seen him at close quarters against my sides on a number of occasions, and it's not a surprise how he's well he's done. And they came down and trained at Cheltenham last year for an afternoon, and I was able to see at close quarters how good he is. When you see people in training as well. He's very bright, very quick, and he'll probably move on. I think he'll do well. I think someone will come in from Bradley Dack. There's certainly a move in him, a league higher, I would say at least. And he's been very good. And the same with Kamar Roof as well. I think that was justified. We had him at Cheltenham 2-3 years ago. Mark Yates brought him in on loan. Didn't really do as well with us from West Brom as he did with Oxford, but I think he was given a longer time at Oxford to get going. And he's been outstanding. He's had even more of an influence probably than Bradley Dack has at Oxford than Bradley has at Gillingham, because they're right in their second or third in the table, looking good. And he's done well in against Swansea. He did well, didn't he, in the FA Cup. And there's another one there. He's probably shown he's had to take a couple of steps back to maybe get himself recognised and get himself a move higher up, probably, which he probably got with Oxford this year. But there's every chance of again him, like Bradley, getting that move in, maybe into the Championship, even not too distant in the future. So two good and worthy winners there, I think.
I think with Keemar Roof, it's not only the number of goals he's scored, he's scored some really good finishes as well. There's a couple which really stand out to me. All right, moving on. The best young player in the Football League was the Leeds midfielder, Lewis Cook. Again, a deserved award, in my opinion. Would you guys agree? Or?
Yeah, he's been obviously at Leeds. Obviously, one thing we obviously usually try and... Leeds do get slated quite a bit for the way they run as a club, obviously, mainly from the chairman down, and obviously underachieving every year. But one thing they do is bring for a lot of youngsters. So we've seen Sam Byron moving on to the Premier League, play for West Ham this season. And Lewis Cook, yeah, he's been really well for Leeds. We saw an absolute screamer at Elland Road a few weeks ago. So yeah, it's probably another deserved award. But there's a lot of good young players out there in the Football League, so it's probably a tough decision. But I think, overall, he probably is the name that does stand out the most.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think although Leeds themselves, they're in that situation where they're sort of mid-table and not can't go either way, can't get in the playoffs now, but he's been a very good player for them. He's been one that's going to probably look to, again, could move on higher if Leeds don't themselves. So great potential from him, and, he's certainly put himself... What these awards do, they put people in shop windows, don't they? And sort of certainly alert people to them if they haven't already been known about them. So we've had a couple of good lads at Cheltenham this year. Dylan Phillips, look out for him. He's going to be very good. He's at Cheltenham. He's a keeper at Cheltenham. He's been outstanding for us this year. He hasn't played the first team yet. Another one we have is Cameron Burgess, who's at Fulham. He played 6 games in the first team. Again, another one maybe to look out in the future. But Cook from Leeds was probably the outstanding one, and again, don't always get them right, do they? But I think they have done this year with the winners that have been thrown up.
The last award I just want to mention, the Best Manager Award. I think you've probably guessed who's won it without me telling you, to be honest.
Far away.
Chris Wilder of Northampton, unsurprisingly.
Oh, right, yeah, no, yeah. Well, they're 14, 13 points clear at in League Two. Yeah, I know Chris very well. He did a good job. He's done a good job. He did a good job at Oxford, didn't he, beforehand? And then, surprisingly, people sort of wondered why he was going to go to Northampton. And I think it was a sort of lack of a firm offer from Oxford to keep him. So he jumped ship, and before, you know, things probably just took a turn for work. But he's done ever so well at Northampton. I mean, they were down with us last year near the bottom, and they weren't far above us. But he certainly, you know, they got enough points, obviously, in the end, and finished quite comfortably. But this year, they've looked very good, haven't they? Very strong. They went on an unbelievable run, I think, nearly as many games as Cheltenham did, or just about the same, as mid-20s, I think. So, ridiculous amount. And worthy winners, and it's a good club, Northampton. Certainly, you know, it will not be left wanting in League One. I think Chris will be a good man there to stabilise them and keep them mid-table at least.
Are there any other?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think I say Chris Ward deserves all the credit, especially with the off. They've had a few off the field problems as well. Northampton, as we've said on the show before, he just deserves all the plaudits coming his way. And so I wish them all the best in the I heard of Bolton were linked with him as well. Chris Wilder, they want him, but whether he'll actually jump ship to Bolton is another question. Also, they'll be playing League One football next year. It could be probably best for Chris to stay at a club like Northampton, who are on the up, rather than Bolton, who's sort of on their way down, and they sort of, it's going to be a tough job to take over.
Are there any other managers you'd have considered for the best manager of the season? Any, like, for instance, some of those at the top of the Championship, like
Slightly biased there, but I think Chris Hughton does deserve a lot of credit here for obviously taking us from an absolute shambles from last season from given that we've had goal scoring problems for a while now to the second highest goal scorers in the league, but also where we are in the league. I mean, no one predicted us to be where we are. So I think, yeah, Chris Hughton, you could say, certainly the Championship should be a name that should be up there.
I'd have said maybe Hasselbank had he not left Burton, because he was doing a great job there, but at QPR, I guess it's more difficult to...
John Coleman there has been outstanding, the budget they've got. You know, they were down near us in Cheltenham Town last year. They were, you know, four, five places above us, and they were struggling. And for him, like Chris Wilde had done at Northampton, to turn them around. And you could equally argue that, yeah, there's 14 points difference, but you could say the job that John Coleman's done is equally as outstanding as Chris Wilder, with the budgets and that are on offer and the people that he can attract, as opposed to what Chris can attract at Northampton. So, you know, he's been outstanding, John Coleman there. So that's a great one. And then, you know, just the league above, and Burton Albion again, you know, second. They've had two managers. Jimmy Floyd left, and then Nigel Clough continued. And, you know, they're doing very well there, so, you know, you can't give it to two managers, but, you know, as a club, I think Burton have went up and they've gone again, which is outstanding, so it just shows you, and that's the sort of thing that gives us at Cheltenham a little bit of hope, well, a lot of hope next year that we can go again. Bristol Rovers have done it, they've gone up from the National League, and Daryl Clark has done really well at Bristol Rovers from last year, so that's the thing that gives us hope. And, yeah, there's some outstanding performances from teams that you wouldn't probably think about so far this year. You know, there's none really with sort of what Leicester City are doing in the Premier League.
Mm.
Just want to give a quick shout out to an 8-year-old Bristol City fan, Oscar Pycroft, who won Fan of the Year as well. We'll move on. We'll look at the Championship. There's not been a lot of change at the top of it. All the teams have been winning. Middlesbrough, though, after getting two late winners in their last two games last night, they conceded a late goal and only got a draw with Burnley. I guess from your perspective, you mentioned to me before the show about that it being a decent result maybe for Brighton, or
I would rather Middlesbrough hang on to be honest, because it would have eliminated sort of Middlesbrough from the picture really, and it'd just been down us and Burnley, then we'd obviously had a 2-point advantage over Burnley. So I'd have rather Middlesbrough hang on. However, it's not absolutely disastrous, so it's obviously we're level on points with Burnley now, with 2 points behind Middlesbrough. But say it's just all about the running now. But we know if we win three games, there's no ifs, there's no buts. We're a Premier League club next season, which is obviously it's surreal to think about. But with that, we just got to look at the running. I mean, Friday night Burnley away at Preston, Lancashire derby, Friday night crowd. You'd like to think they could struggle, they might not get all 3 points there. And on Saturday, I think Middlesbrough home to Ipswich. And we know Mick McCarthy, the way he sets his sides out, he won't tolerate any poor, you won't tolerate no poor performances. No, they've got nothing to play for. Players could be thinking about what they're going to put in their suitcases for their holiday over the performance. But McCarthy certainly won't tolerate that, and hopefully he can get his team out for a solid point. But then obviously, about things like clubs, we know what we've got to do. We're at Charlton, who are already down, but we saw Bolton make hard work of it against Middlesbrough on Saturday. So we just got to make sure that we stick to our plan and make sure we get the 3 points, which is the most important thing. And as I say, I think there's just going to be ups and downs right until the last second of the season, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it always is, isn't there? None more so than Championship. I'd love to see Brighton get back in because, you know, when I was growing up, Brighton were in the top league and at the Galston Ground and getting in cup finals and things like that. So for me, it'd be great to see Brighton go up for that perspective. And also, Burnley, Michael Duff's a good friend of mine, played in the Cheltenham at Burnley. So he said, although they went down, nothing much has changed. You know, they've still got a good spirit and it's a good camp. So obviously, one or two additions. Then go back up. So, you know, they would be my two. I would like to see go up. Whether they do or not, I'm not sure, because Middlesbrough obviously got something to say about that. But very competitive always, isn't it? And some huge teams. And whoever goes up, I'm sure, will do pretty well in the Premier League.
It looks like the playoff places are decided. Three of them are Brighton, Hull and Derby are in the playoffs at the moment. Obviously, the top could change, but them three have got playoffs confirmed. It looks like Sheffield Wednesday are taking that final spot, unless Cardiff can overhaul a six-point deficit in three games, which you'd think is pretty unlikely. So I guess it's fair to assume Sheffield Wednesday got the final spot.
Yeah, I think it's probably too much to ask for Slade. But to be fair to Russell Slade's side, they've given it a good go. They're seventh in the league. I don't think people really had Cardiff down to get that far. But I think they've had a good season. Some of the supposed, you forget how tough the Championship is. We sort of got sides like QPR down in 12th, Wolves 14th, Reading 15th, even down right down the end, 8th, Forest 18th, Fulham 19th. There seems that we're right, supposed to be right there at the start of the season. So, and I think that's a fantastic achievement for Sheffield Wednesday as well. They've had a new manager come in, and what a year he's had. So they're probably going to end 6th because they're 6 points behind Derby in 5th, so they won't get the home advantage. But they do raise their game, Sheffield Wednesday, on their big day. We've seen them pull off some big results this season. I think one that stands out for me is Arsenal in the Capital One Cup, where they battered them 3-0. So, I think the playoffs are going to remain how they are. It's just a case of who sort of slots into which position, really.
Yeah, same. I can't see it changing. There's two surprises there. Sheffield Wednesday for doing so well. And if, you know, look at 16 draws, if they had turned one of two of those into wins, then, you know, they could have been even higher. And Derby for really not doing as well as I thought they would do. You know, they spent a bit of money, brought in Paul Clement. There's a lot of hype about that. That didn't work out. And they've just about maintained, you know, Darren Ross as well through our encounters with Derby in the youth setup. And he steadied it there. So, they're obviously in it. And we've just sold that actually to Derby. Luke Thomas, who's in there under-18s and is doing really well. So they're a club that you would expect, you know, to push on and do really well in the playoffs and maybe get in, but I would have had them down as start of season as automatic, but that hasn't worked out. So well done to Sheffield Wednesday, and not quite so well done to Derby, although they are still in the hunt for a Premiership place.
The thing is the teams just outside the playoffs, Cardiff, Ipswich, Birmingham, all like they could have made it into the playoffs, but over the last few games they've all stuttered. They've not been able to find any form, any of the sides, or it could have been an interesting battle for that final spot.
Yeah, it's true. Birmingham really have gone off the boil. So we beat them 2-1. I think they seem to lose a lot at home. But I think, there's been a few starters, and that's the thing, obviously, where you want to finish. You've got to hold your nerve at this stage of the season. A lot of clubs haven't done that. So it's that. But obviously, got Preston down in 10th, and they've had a fantastic season, ending that high when they were sort of going to get slumped into a relegation battle. But Simon Grayson's done an excellent job at Preston there for getting them to finish as high as possible.
So yeah, it's just a big test of your players this time of year, isn't it? I mean, your form from the rest of the season goes out the window, really. It's all about holding the nerve now and getting yourself over the line. If you can perform, then that's great. But it's all about the 3 points. And like you said, you know, there are a few teams there have faltered. And, you know, I know Gary Rowett's probably been pulling his hair out of Birmingham now. They've faltered a little bit. So I think they were 2-0 up the other night and drew, I think, wasn't it? So, disappointing for them. But you know, it's all a learning curve, and sure they'll come back stronger next year.
The thing is, for the teams in the playoffs, I guess, do you think form is probably something they really need to get now, like ready for the playoffs? You know, that you don't want to be losing games right before then.
I think it's vital now. I mean, we've had it in the National League. You know, you've got Forest Green in there that probably, you know, we picked them, and it's not a nice time to lose a bit of form. If you'd be rather off, you know, as you've seen a few times before, that teams that come into the playoffs late and are in that run and are confident that generally do well as they go into the playoffs. So we'll see. But, you know, you'd expect Brighton to be in there. If it's Brighton or Burnley, that they're there for a reason, that they are, you know, the third best team in the league. And whoever they is that drops out of those, and you'd expect them, because they're in that 8-10 points difference to the fourth place, and you'd expect them to hold their own in the playoffs and probably form to, you know, and league position in the table to take precedent over, just playoff form. So,
looking at the other end of the Championship table, Charlton are now confirmed down in the down will be playing in League One next season, as well as Bolton. And it looks like MK Dons are down as well, 9 points adrift with 3 games to go. So unless we see the most miraculous turnaround, that's all over.
Yeah, I think Charlton, it's been a tough... Again, it's off the field owners, really, that's been the problem for that club. I mean, I do feel sorry for them, because they've been in League One before. They came back up and it was looking like they were solid, but then they seem to have just changed manager God knows how many times since Chris Powell left, I think. I think that's just been their problem. I just think they need a bit of stability. A bit like Bolton, I think they need a bit of stability in the manager in. And I think above all, they need to get the fans back on side. I think obviously doing that, they need a change at the top. But I think above all, they need to get the fans back on side. I think they need to get a manager in for a bit of stability. And it's going to be a tough ask there. MK Dons, I think out of the three clubs, they're probably actually in the best setup to come back up. Obviously, they've got a strong squad. They've sort of kept their squad that was from League One. And they've actually been quite unlucky, to be fair to them. They've actually played some good football, and they've been unlucky against sort of teams. I mean, there's been a lot of underachievers in that league with Fulham, Forest, Blackburn again. But also, obviously, Rotherham, and that late surge under Neil Warnock. So you could say they're a bit unlucky, MK Dons. But say it is where it is.
Yeah, I think it's going to be how it is, and hope for my sake Bristol City don't go down, because obviously the man I work with, Gary, is son's manager at their league, so I'm obviously won't be too great if they go down. So I just hope that, I'm pretty sure that they won't, they'll get the point needed, and MK Dons have got to win all three anyway. I think it is as it is, and you know, you alluded to very well there that Neil Warnock done a fantastic job there, only to keep that great run he went on with 5-6 wins or something to keep Rotherham out of it. And they've done really well. But it's amazing there. Last night, I was looking at the shifts that the games were going on, and Bristol City were 16th at one point, and then they went down to 21st within a matter of 5 minutes and a couple of goal changes. So it's really close. You can see 48 points and 50 to Huddersfield at 16th place. And not a lot on it, but you'd expect the three that are there now, you know, well, certainly two are down, you'd expect MK Dons to go down as well.
All right, well, let's talk about League One then. Wigan drew 1-1 with Burton in the battle of the top two, and it's been a while since Burton have won. I think their last six games they've not managed to get a win, and their automatic promotion might be under threat. Walsall only 3 points behind them.
Yeah, well, absolutely, definitely, and Walsall have actually got a game in hand as well. Seven on the spin, but it's an absolute limp now for Burton to get over the line, which, so it's a real shame. They've had a fantastic season. I really want them to go. I've said it before, I want them to go, because they've been a fantastic run football club. But I think, so Wigan are looking dead certain. I think they're 6 points above with 3 games to go.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, so if Walsall can get that win, they'll be level on points for Burton, so it does make it very interesting there. And so they're crying out for that win, aren't they? And so it's looking like it's going to be a very interesting battle now.
Yeah, it's great. I think Neil Harris has done a great job at Millwall as well, getting them in there. With Wigan, it'll be nice to see Wigan getting back into, you know, some sort of the upper echelons of the league after coming out of the Premier League. So that'd be good. another aspect of nice to see Burton getting there as well as, to see them getting to like a bit like Yeovil did a few years ago. They went through a couple of leagues, didn't they, very quickly. And I think Burton will be able to sustain it more than Yeovil would, or Yeovil did, was it 2-3 years ago? So, and this one is tight, isn't it, in for the playoff, that last position. Chatting to the Barnsley manager, Edward, the other week, we had the trade that they were on the way up to Guiseley. You know, he was quite brilliant that he would get the lads going after their win in the cup to see them over the line. So, goal difference obviously plays a little bit of a, you know, you got a 5-goal swing there to Gillingham. Cut between those two. Bradford may get pulled into it if they don't pull their socks up in the last couple of games and then all dropped out of it. So it's interesting there, isn't it? All you know, 7 or 8 places there that are all up for grabs, and it's going to be an interesting one. That's not quite as cut and dried as the league above in the Championship.
Well, absolutely. Also, I was going to say, Barnsley as well. It was a massive night. I was up for some clubs. Barnsley winning, Scunthorpe winning, and Sheffield United winning. They've all been sort of thrown back in there. So I think it's look at sixth place. It's Gillingham on 69 level with Barnsley on 69, who are 7. And then you've got 4 points below them, Rochdale, Sheffield United and Scunthorpe all on 65.
Yeah.
So it's just going to be a massive battle for the last few games, and it's brilliant, really, for the neutrals, and but not so much for the clubs, because I think the fans are all going to be going hummies round every game, and the managers included as well. But, yeah, no, I would say it's all going to be very tight, and it's brilliant.
It's very fascinating. The thing thing is, it's very difficult to try and predict who's going to get there. You know, it could be any one of 5 or 6 teams for that them playoff spots. Moving on.
Yeah, it'd be great. It'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Last few weeks of the season, wouldn't it? So that'd be probably the most competitive league in terms of points between everyone that's around at the minute, which is great.
Well, it'd be a final day of the season thing. It's got to go to that, surely.
Yeah, well, I think, yeah.
Looking at the relegations... Looking at their relegation zone, losses for Fleetwood and Shrewsbury last night, they can't get clear of the relegation zone, and it's giving Blackpool and maybe Doncaster hope of an escape.
Yeah, so I think with Fleetwood and Shrewsbury, so I think it's really tight there. You've got Oldham have seemed to have pulled their socks up a bit, and they've pulled together a little bit of a run to get away. I think they won 1-0 at Southend last night. So they can hold their nerve and get out. I still think it's probably going to be the four that is now. I think Crewe and Colchester are down.
They drew last night,
but then Doncaster, I think they're asking a bit too much. And then Blackpool, they're 2 points there. They've obviously got every chance, but I just think the overall quality, I think it probably will be the four that's in there at the moment.
Yeah, I would agree. From a selfish point of view, I'd like as many southern teams to come down as possible, and many northern teams to go up out of League 2, because obviously that's what we're going into, so to cut the travelling down. But I can't see Doncaster going out of it, getting out of it now. I mean, what they need is back-to-back wins. They need 3 wins, really, don't they? So it's going to be a tough one, that. And Blackpool are on the precipice, aren't they? Shrewsbury went up last year, found it quite tough. That game in hand could be vital if they can win that. You know, that'll give them a 5-point cushion off of Blackpool. So, interesting one. Fleetwood have got big money and not really performed this year after doing okay last year. I would agree. I think it's probably the four that are there now. Certainly the bottom three. Blackpool may have an edge to get out, but Shrewsbury's game in hand could be crucial.
How bad would it be for Blackpool if they went down to League 2 after, you know, only a few years ago being a Premier League side?
Yeah, it's a bit of a fall from grace, isn't it? I mean, they were back when I was playing, we played at Blackpool, that was early 2000s, 2002. And they were in, I can't remember whether we were in Division 2 or Division 3 at the time. But and it's a lovely ground, you know, the back room side of it is really nice, and it's certainly not a fourth tier club, that's for sure. You know, it's geared for the Championship at least, so it's a huge fall, and. You know, it's not always, we've alluded to earlier, haven't we, about things happening off the pitch which affect things on the pitch. What's happened over the last 3, 4, 5 years that's happened?
Yeah, I was going to say, absolutely. I say it's not very nice to see the club's demise because of bad ownership, and you really want the to just get out of football club and let it run, because it's just disappointing. No one's happy, no one's going to enjoy their football in Blackpool, and I say it's probably, I wouldn't even be surprised if next year, I think next year they won't struggle and need to, because I think there's simply teams with worse budgets than them that probably will struggle. But again, I don't think it's going to be a very successful campaign. It'll just be another moody, gloomy campaign, which is just a shame until they get these off the field problems sorted.
All right, well, let's look at League Two, and it could be it's similar to League One at the top of the league. It's very difficult to try and predict. Obviously, Northampton ran away with it, but the automatic promotion battle. You've got Accrington, Oxford United, Plymouth and Bristol Rovers all 2 points separating the four of them. It's almost like the championship race as well.
Well, every night, every week, I think the last 3 weeks you said, it's been someone's week. I think a few weeks ago we said it was Bristol Rovers' week. Last week we said it was Plymouth's week. And now this week we can say it's safely Accrington's week, because all the results went their way last night and they're now second on 78. But then they're only 2 points above fifth place Bristol Rovers, so it really is a mental battle there. And you say it's just going to go right down to the wire, isn't it? It's, again, who can really hold their nerve between Accrington, Oxford, Plymouth and Bristol Rovers. I think from Vignora perspective, Russ would be praying that Accrington do go up, because I think Oxford, Plymouth, Bristol Rovers are all relatively local games.
Yeah, no, they are, yeah. I mean, we've been looking at that a lot. You've got Oxford, Plymouth, Bristol Rovers, Portsmouth, they're all not a million miles from us, but Accrington, I'd like to see Accrington go up, really. It'd be a great achievement, as I said earlier, for Accrington to go up. It'd be unbelievable, because, there's not a lot of finance there, and, I've no behind the scenes from being involved in it, that, they have to, everyone does everything at that club, whoever there is, they've all got about three or four different jobs, so... even the manager, he's cutting the lawn at times and things like that. So, it's a huge achievement, and that it really would be a club, everyone grouping together and doing it. I personally fancy Oxford to get up as well. I think they've been really good, and I think that, the guy Kim O'Roof that we said earlier could be the difference with them. And as we said, it's between those four, and take those two places, isn't it? So, Jamil Matt's in at Plymouth, he's done well there, hasn't he? He scored a few, and he's on loan from Fleetwood at Plymouth, so he could nick them a couple of goals, which might see them in. And a little one for Neil Ardley at Wimbledon has done tremendously well. Got a game in hand on the top teams above him and the teams below, actually. So if they can win that, they're sort of firmly cemented in there, aren't they? Would have got a 4 point gap from Wickham in eighth and five from Cambridge, who had that 7-0 last night against Morecambe in ninth. So interesting stuff. And like you say, I think it's going to go to the last game.
I think last week we'd have been saying Portsmouth were in that battle for automatic promotion, but they're definitely not now. They've lost their last two games. They lost against Plymouth at the weekend, and then last night losing to York, which I don't think anyone would have predicted.
Well, absolutely not. But
yeah, you're right.
They're probably more in danger actually now, dropping out altogether. I think they'll probably be okay, but they're 5 points above Wickham in eighth. Certainly they're probably more looking down there. Down the table rather than up, and I forgot his manager's name now. Blank. We said his name on the show. I've said his name enough on the show. Cross my mind, but yeah, he'll be praying for that last wimple will. And so I think he just really want to just have that breather where he can relax and focus on the playoffs. But as I say, then that's not a good way to go in the playoffs if you're losing games, especially silly games away. No disrespect to them, but silly games away. Sides that are already relegated, like York.
Well, York aren't, this is the thing, they're not automatically relegated yet. They're similar to MK Dons, they're 9 points off Newport with, three games to go. So they've got a very, very slight chance of staying up.
It's like an 11-goal swing as well that needs to happen, so...
Yeah, but if all six results go in your favour, you can assume, 11 goals.
You'll pull that back, you could well pull that back. Yeah, but you'd say they're pretty much down, wouldn't they? York City, they kind of are old players there, Russ Penn and Summerfield, they were, very good for us, and they were very good for York last year because they were in a similar situation and pulled themselves away from us. We went there at Easter Bank Holiday and lost 1-0, which was probably a key to them staying out of relegation. And it's a shame, really, because they went down a few years ago, didn't they? They managed to come back, but the league every year, the National League's getting tougher and tougher. So it's not one you want to drop into for sure.
just the final thing I want to mention, Notts County, we've got their new manager. We mentioned it when he took over Mark Cooper. He's got that points target, which we don't know what it is, but he's got to reach it. And he's had a go at his players, saying they've not got the stomach for it. He's only got 8 points since he took over out of 21. And, well, we don't know what his points target is, but presumably he's not going to reach it.
he's kept them up, which is I know it was quite a relatively easy job to do, but yeah, I think they're then 20 points off the playoffs, so obviously that's not going to happen, but I don't know what the target is, but you have to say, if he's only got 8 points from I don't know what a possible what, but
21.
It doesn't seem like an awful lot, so yeah, could be another man.
Yeah, big club, Notts County, and underachieved this year. And I like Coops, he's a good guy, I hope he does well. So I hope he does get enough. 3 wins, that's the last 3 games, will paint a different picture, won't it?
All right, let's move on to the National League, what was the conference then. Obviously, as Cheltenham manager, last weekend you secured your champions. So I guess you're proud of your team's achievements this season.
Yeah, it's been tremendous. We're 9 points ahead now. So we had to, match Forest Green, and they lost and we won. So obviously we went up, and the boys have been magnificent all season. We had a 22-23 game run, which was unbeaten, club record. It just shows we're top scorers, net in the least. Most wins, so that bears fruit to the work that the boys have put in the season, and there hasn't been many times that me and Gary haven't had to get into them, really. There's been the odd occasion, but I can count on one hand, less than one hand, the amount of times we've had to have a go at them, and they've been simply exemplary from start to finish, and it's great for Cheltenham, because this was a big year for us. We had to, the chairman put a big pressure on us to bounce back, otherwise the club hasn't got the resources to rely on chairman and people like that. It's one of those clubs that relies on the league funding, and it's a huge loss for us to go out last year, but fortunately we're back in, and the club can look up again. The academy's okay, everyone's smiling, and hopefully we'll give it a good go in league too.
Well, I was going to quickly say, actually, that's also a fantastic, you said it's a fantastic achievement. There's not many clubs that do bounce straight back up from League Two. I know Bristol Rovers did it last year, but I can't really think of too many, to be honest. I think I'm right in saying, I heard it when I was watching your game against Wrexham on the telly. They said it was about, I think, 4 teams that have done it.
It was 1990, the last one. Yeah, 1990 was the last one, so 26 years ago. Bristol Rovers did it by the playoffs last year. And when they were talking, 1990 was the last time that someone had done it as champions.
It was
Darlington, I think it was. And what we also did, we shipped out all the players pretty much. We kept the lads that were on contracts, obviously, and eventually they went. But, we had 17, 18 new players, but 11 debutants on the first game of the season. So it's been, for everybody, it's been a great effort. And, everyone's really chuffed with it. So let's hope we'll try and get everyone together for next year, obviously. So we do believe that this squad, with 3 or 4 additions, can do just as well, hold their own in the league above.
So you've got my football manager, absolute wonder signing, Dan Holman, who's been banging it. As I say, he was a tremendous manager. Football manager idol, he is.
Is he? No, great lad, Dan. He scored some fantastic goals for us. I don't want to dig him up too much because, he's obviously got a bit of attention already. So I don't want to alert too many more people to it, but
wasn't he on loan from Charlton at Woking?
Colchester, he was, yeah. He's been at Colchester. Yeah, been at Colchester for a year and a half or so, and then we played Woking, and he did well against us, and he already scored a couple of good goals, and we thought, this lad, we need to look at this lad. And then Gary's brother Pete actually lives near Woking, he lives in Guildford, so he went and watched him a number of times, and said, yeah, he'll be the man for you. If you bang him in for Woking, who were sort of mid-tableish at the time, with the amount of chances we create, he's going to get a few more. So he's right and left for it. He's a fantastic lad and a great player. So he's done just as well for us as he's done for you.
So after going down, was it like a main target for the season? Did you expect to be in with a shout of winning the league, or is this something that's come as a surprise to you?
We always thought, oh, you know, it's going to be tough because then the chairman put it on us that we had to, you know, the club, you know, we had to go up, otherwise we didn't know what the consequences would be. There would be more, obviously, the parachute payment goes. But once we got into the season and the lads, because we only won one of the first four games, we drew three, we were unbeaten, we drew three, and five, but actually never Forest Green won nine in a row. So they got a big lead, or say about 10 points ahead after nine games. So we were then thinking, well, let's just keep going, see what we can do, win the next game if you can. And gradually we eked it back. And September, they had a little bit of a wobble for us in mid-September and into October. We managed to get back. And by November, when we played them the second time round, we were, you know, above them. So, and then we stayed that way pretty much, far in a month, and for the rest of the season. So it's been a fantastic turnaround. And once we got that role, we just believed that, you know, barring... you know, unforeseen circumstances, we'd be very, very close. And there are some big clubs in there, you know, Grimsby's and Tranmere's, Wrexham's, you know, that have been in there a long time and trying to get back out. So we were fortunate, but I think you earned that bit of fortune as well.
I read a BBC article saying that the rivalry you guys have with Forest Green is a friendly rivalry. Is that the case?
Most of the time it is, yeah. Well, it has been when we went in the same league. This year there's been... You know, the fans, I must admit, the fans have took it a bit far at times. It's certainly not reflected in the players and the staff, you know, but I think the fans have took it a little bit too far. And, you know, fair play to Andy Prennick. He sent the manager a bottle of pop the other day to say, well done, congratulations. So, you know, that was great. That was a nice touch. And, you know, we've been neck and neck all season, barring the last three or four weeks. Mm-hmm. And... It's fair play, but there is a rivalry, and it'd be nice from a Gloucestershire perspective to see them go up. You know, two Football League clubs from Gloucestershire would be great.
What do you think of the playoff battle? Do you think Forest Green would be the favourites to win in the playoffs? Or?
It's a difficult one because, like I alluded to earlier, they need to these last couple of games, they've got to get a little bit of form going. There's Grimsby, a good side. Looks like it's going to be Grimsby against Dover, I would say, which. It's a tough one to call. Dover's my old club. They've done really well under Chris Kinnear, who was my old manager 20-odd years ago. He went back there after stints at Margate and where else. Grimsby are the club that can get a bit of momentum going. You know, they've got fans, they've got the history, they've got some decent players. Patrick Hammond's a top scorer in the league. If he gets, you know, firing again, you know, which he scored actually last night. So then it's Forest Green against... Braintree, a part-time side, they never scored under Danny Cowley. Eastleigh are the big spenders, and they've got some, you know, ex-league players with a lot of league games in amongst them, and then there's Tranmere that have got a chance to get in as well, so it's a tough one to call. You would say Forest Green is a slight favourite, with probably Grimsby just behind them. If I had to hedge my bets, it'd be one of those two, but I wouldn't want to call. Win on the day, you know, at Wembley, like we said last year, the last... It was a penalty kick, wasn't it, that got Bristol Rovers up. That was £1 million penalty kick, that was.
Yeah. Just looking forward to the future with Cheltenham, I presume you want to get re-established as a Football League club and hopefully go forward from there.
Yeah, the club was in the league for 16 years. I was lucky enough to be in there at the start of it and, you know, at the end of it, unfortunately, I was on the staff when we went down. So it wasn't nice, but we appreciate what we had. And the club still is full-time, obviously, this year. The training ground was still as it was. A few people lost their jobs, but obviously we want to get back straight in and, you know, build on what we've got this year. We've got, under Gary Johnson, we've got a very ambitious manager who won't let people lie and sit still. He'll keep pushing for things. And as he's done in the past, he's got Yeovil up another couple of leagues. Cheltenham are a big club, probably, than Yeovil are. So, you know, we're all positive and we're all enjoying life at the minute and trying to move forward and getting, obviously, Cheltenham back in the league, but establishing the move on.
All right. Just one final question I want to ask. There's a bit of a debate about... there's obviously two clubs get promoted to the Football League and two get relegated.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe that more teams there should be, like, maybe a three? The team that finished second, so Forest Green, should also get promoted. Now, three relegated, three up.
I think so, yeah. I mean, probably if you asked me this a couple of years ago, I'd have said no. going back down into it, there are some big clubs in this league, in the National League, and I think it does deserve a little bit more recognition.
is a strange one.
There's no money in it, so unless you come, the drops from £1 million is going to be next year to virtually nothing. You know, unless you filter, unless you come out of it and get the down payment, the parachute payment. So there's a huge gap in the Gulf. So, and I do think that you look at 6 and 17s in that league, they can quite easily hold their own in the league above, quite easily, no problem at all. I think it's deserving of the two, certainly of two. I mean, people want the playoffs for the, you know, the wow factor and the bit of excitement in the season, but two teams do certainly definitely need to, you know, be an automatic. And whether they put a third in a playoff, well, I don't know if the Football League will allow that, but that's my point of view, because Forest Green are, you know, they've got their chins on the floor at the minute, obviously they're with us all the way, and then now they've got to go to the playoffs, which we would have done, you know, we would have been devastated at doing that as well. So I'll be advocating that in the fifth last league in the future for an extra spot.
What do you think, Nick? Do you think that's something that this should be considered?
I absolutely. I think it should be. First and second, then four in the play, then three down to sixth in the playoffs. I think it's just quite harsh, to be honest. Every year that it is. So it's tough to get out on, and it should be three clubs to two automatic and one club for the players to go up. Just, and it also makes dropping out.
If you look at it from the perspective of teams that are coming down, although the Football League teams, although they're saying no, but if you do go down, you sign a few to get up. If you've got an extra spot, then it's going to be easier for you to get up. You know, because you've got more chance of going, if you go down, of getting back up. So surely, I think it would be in their interest to have that extra spot for the league below and filter a bit more money in it in terms of normal funding, you know, not just the parachute. Because I think there's going to be a heavy weight for teams going down from now on to stay up. Because I think they get the funding, parachute payments now for an extra year or two. So we only got it for a year. There's going to be teams that come down, you're going to see bounce back in now more, I think, if you watch in the next coming years, because the teams that are coming down are going to get the payments for longer and more.
Mm. Okay. Well, thanks for coming on the show, Russ. Appreciate your time.
Do that, no problem.
You can follow Russ on Twitter. It's at RussMilton11. Is there anything else you want to mention? Or?
No, thank you. That's great. I've enjoyed it. Great speaking to both of you.
All right. Well, if that's everything, you can also check us out on Twitter. It's at V2Football. You can also check out our Facebook and YouTube pages. It's good night from me, and good night from Nick and Russ.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night. Cheers.